The Missouri Senate will come to order. I would ask that the members and guests in the upper galleries please rise for a prayer by Reverend Gauck, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
From the 26th chapter of Isaiah, we hear, "Those of steadfast mind you keep in perfect peace, in peace because they trust in you." Heavenly Father, we have confidence in you, our God, knowing that all that we have done, the good and our failings, are in your forgiving, gracious hands. So we ask you to remove doubts and concerns that afflict our heart and grant us the strength, joy, and calm which you have promised, so that we may better serve you and those you have given us to care for. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you.
Madam Secretary, will you call the roll?
Senators Arthur, Bean, Beck, Bernsketter, Bratton, Brown, Burleson, Searpoy, Crawford, Eigel, Esslinger, Gannon, Hageman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Luchtmeyer, May, Moon, Mosley, O'Loughlin, Onder, Razor, Rader, Riddle, Rizzo, Roberts, Rowden, Schatz, Shoup, Washington, White, Whelan, Williams.
A quorum being present, the Missouri Senate is in session. Madam Secretary, will you please read the journal?
Journal of the Senate, first extra session of the first regular session. First day, Wednesday, June 23rd, 2021. The Senate was called to order.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though it hadn't been fully read.
You've heard the motion offered by the Senator from Boone. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Jefferson.
May I inquire of the senator from the first, please?
The senator from the first is making his way to his workstation. Senator from the first, do you yield to an inquiry from your colleague from Jefferson? Senator from the first, would you like to work from your workstation?
Yes, I do.
He does.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, Senator.
Morning.
All right, I wanted to visit with you a little bit this morning. First, I was going to talk to you a little bit about the last day of session. I believe you and many of your colleagues were disappointed and felt that you were misled and lied to by our leadership. Am I summing that up about right?
Yes. I mean, yes.
Okay. So you would agree with me that it's very important in this body that we try to deal as truthfully as we can with each other when we're negotiating things. I mean, and when we're talking about different issues and what we're pledging we're going to do?
Yes.
Would you agree? Do you think that it's also important that even when we're not working deals, that we're just conversing about different topics, that we try to be as honest as we can about the subject matter. I think that's an important part of being a senator, wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that is too. And I think that, it's also important that we speak the truth to our constituents and to the public when we talk to them about issues. So that's why I wanted to talk to you a little bit this morning. Did you have an opportunity to read the three bills that were filed yesterday?
I have not read them yet.
You have not read them yet? Okay. Well, and that may be where some of the confusion is in. We have very familiar districts. We're like budding right next to each other. And I think people of our districts kind of share a lot of the same values and thoughts. And so I wanted to kind of ask you a little bit about the subject that we're here on, and I think what a lot of people have been talking about. And so my first question to you is, do you believe abortion is birth control?
Do I believe abortion is birth control?
Yes.
No.
No. Okay, good. Because we share that in common. Okay, so we have that in common. Do you believe that forcing taxpayers to pay for abortions is an extreme idea?
That is the law. It's the law of the land. As of right now, we know the taxpayers don't pay for abortions.
Pardon me?
It's the law of the land that taxpayers do not pay for abortions.
Okay. Would you see that to be a mainstream view, or would you see that be an extreme view?
I don't know if it's extreme or mainstream or where exactly that's
okay.
at. I just know it's the
okay,
law.
But you'd agree with me that
I know that
perhaps
the Supreme
is not
Court
extreme.
Has said it is it's the right to be able to get an abortion. So I know that that's the law of the land. Also, the question is, are taxpayers paying for it? Is that an extreme view? I'm not sure exactly.
Okay. But would you say that trying to prevent taxpayers from paying for an abortion is an extreme view?
I would say no. I would say
okay.
No.
Very good. Okay. Well, I appreciate that because we agree on that as well. So now I'm going to ask you, it appears like yesterday you sent out a tweet, and I will read it exactly to you because I was kind of confused by it. It said, "Special session has begun. Extremist Republican senators attempting to ban birth control." So
yes.
I want to kind of go through that tweet with you. And I would imagine the extremist Republican senators you would be referring to, I would probably be one of those. Would that be correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you're claiming that I am attempting to ban birth control. Okay? That is what you're claiming. But the bill doesn't ban birth control. The bill simply states that in the specific instances where specific drugs are used, they cannot be used to induce an abortion, and Missouri won't pay for those. Now, you agreed with me that that is not an extremist view. You've agreed with me that abortion is not birth control. So can you please enlighten me as to why you would tweet such a thing if you don't agree with what you just tweeted?
Because first off, there was IUDs in there. There was other forms. There's other chemicals that are used in birth control and for other things for women's health that are involved in this call, correct? Is that not true?
Have you read the call?
Is there other chemicals in here that are not used for?
Everything that is mentioned in the bill and in the call specifically says that Medicaid program will not pay for them if they are used to induce an abortion. And you told me abortion is not birth control.
So do you think Plan B is abortion?
Does it induce an abortion?
No, it does not. Do you think
okay,
it does?
Okay, if you use it to induce an abortion.
It does not, though.
It never induces an abortion.
No, so that's
well,
where
the language
we're talking
is
about.
Mute.
That is, that
then
is
the
birth
language
control.
Is mute because
Senator,
what the language says
control.
Is that if it's used to induce an abortion.
Senator,
that's what the
believe,
language says. You should,
you,
I mean,
Senator,
I
do you believe
read
that
the bill.
Plan B induces an abortion?
Pardon me?
Do you believe Plan B induces an abortion?
I believe it does, yes.
Okay, but it doesn't. Medically
then,
and scientifically, it doesn't.
Okay, so if it doesn't induce an abortion, then it would be paid for by the Medicaid
Senator,
program.
Is Plan B a part of what you're trying to get banned?
It is listed as one of those drugs, correct.
Well,
And it says used to induce an abortion. It doesn't say when used for birth control. It says when used to induce an abortion. My point is, when I read the tweet, I thought, well, obviously we're not reading the same bill because I'm not banning anything. The bill does not ban anything. Ban means you cannot use it. You can't. It's like prohibited to take. This is simply stating that the state of Missouri, through taxpayer dollars, through the Medicaid program, will not pay for these drugs when they are used to induce an abortion. And I don't think that's an extreme view.
And Senator, I disagree with you that this is what this is about abortion. This is about birth control. I agree. What this call is about birth control is not about abortion. And that's okay, the way
so
I
show
see
me
it.
Where, show me where that's it says birth control in any of the
bills. We just discussed it with Plan B. You said that was IUDs. Senator, how do you feel about IUDs?
An IUD, if it causes an abortion, it's an abortion. I mean, if it's used to cause an abortion, then it's an abortion. I mean, I don't understand how this is such an extreme idea, because we already have, like you said, it's already the law of the land. The state of Missouri won't pay for abortions.
I say it's extreme for several reasons. One, back in 2012, we had a senator run on the idea that there is legitimate rape. In 2018, we passed a bill here, HB 126, I'm sure you're very, very familiar with, that banned everything, even including rape, abortion, even in a case of rape. Right? Did we not pass that?
I don't understand what that has to do with what we're doing today, but
well,
okay.
That's what I'm saying. I'm explaining the extreme. In 2012, that senator, or the gentleman who was running for senator, was considered extreme by the population. He was voted down unanimously. I mean, it was a big win. Now we fast forward to 18, and it seems like the entire body is in that position that it's okay for rape. Right, it's okay. There is legitimate rape. There is things that we, at all costs, we're going to somehow bring this child to term, no matter what the circumstances are—rape or incest—and now we're talking about birth control. So that's what I am getting at, and that's where I'm at on this issue. I truly believe that this is extreme.
So you truly believe?
Let me ask you this: you truly believe
that I'm an extremist? You truly believe that I'm trying to ban birth control? You truly believe that? After everything I just explained to you, you truly believe that I'm an extremist and I'm trying to ban birth control?
Senator, I do believe you. I do believe you're trying to ban birth control.
I just wanted to make sure I knew where you stood.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Introduction of guests. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Senator from the second.
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire of the Senator from Platt.
Senator from Platt, you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator, for the inquiry. And again, I apologize for surprising you, but this is a topic you're very familiar with and, of course, the subject of this session. I wanted to visit with you a little bit. As you know, some of us have pointed out that in this special session, circumstances have really changed dramatically compared to the last time we renewed the FRA.
Yes.
So really three, and again, these are all legal matters, so that's why I wanted to inquire of you as a lawyer and as chair of the Judiciary Committee and a very respected member of this body, and kind of get your perspective on this. Because these are, you know, and I won't ask you where you stand on this issue of a defunding Planned Parenthood amendment to the FRA. I just want to get your legal opinion on some things. In the last year, since we last renewed the FRA, because a number of members of this body yesterday, the senator from the 11th and I think the senator from the 5th, said, what's different? We've always renewed the FRA, quote, clean, I would say dirty, this year. We've always renewed the FRA clean. What's changed? And I think it's very simple. Three really big things have changed, momentous things, not trivial things, momentous things. One is that bipartisan agreement between Republicans and Democrats, pro-lifers and pro-choicers, that although there is disagreement in this country on the issue of abortion, no one should be forced to, against their conscience, against their will, to fund abortion through their tax dollars. That was embodied in the Hyde Amendment in 1976, and it's been in federal budget legislation ever since. Number one. Number two, the Missouri Supreme Court, Planned Parenthood versus the Department of Social Services, decided by the Missouri Supreme Court in June of 2020, said that the language, this is not new language that I propose to put on the FRA, the language that I propose to put on the FRA that has been in budget bills repeatedly over the years, that we could not, quote, legislate from the budget or make policy from the budget.
which of course is, and I read the opinion whenever it came out, it's a hard opinion really to understand because, of course, the entire process of the appropriations process is making policy-based decisions on where the state is going to spend its money. And so to suggest that we can't restrict money being spent in certain areas,
yeah,
and that somehow that is policymaking, every line item in the budget would be appropriately described in that fashion. And so what the court essentially is saying, if you take it to its logical extension, is that you can't appropriate money.
Right, right. And that you can't restrict appropriations.
And restrict appropriations.
And as you know, your other hat is that you serve on the Appropriations Committee. As you know, we have a number of restrictions in our budget, in the budget we just passed. For instance, there's a restriction that money will not be spent on toll roads or studying toll roads. There's another restriction that says that that no money will be spent on state air travel without there being an FAA-filed flight plan. I guess that's kind of a transparency measure, make sure that no personal travel or whatever. And there are a number of other, half a dozen or more others, that say, provided, no money shall be spent on. But somehow the Missouri Supreme Court, and I think it can only be described as an activist decision, decided, well, you can't say provided no money shall be spent on abortion providers or their affiliates. Somehow that's beyond the pale, even though these other restrictions are okay. So that was number two. And then, of course, number three is the ongoing Medicaid expansion funding debate. We know that yesterday, Judge Beadham, I think, got it right.
Yeah, absolutely. Got a very favorable decision from Judge Beadham. I hope the Western District Court of Appeals and the Supreme Court, if they take transfer, see it the same way.
Exactly. Now, given the state of our appellate courts, and as a lawyer, you're probably not going to want to comment on this, but the state of our appellate courts in this state is so liberal and so activist, I wouldn't put it beyond them to reverse Judge Beadham's restriction. And then, as Missouri Right to Life has made very clear, Medicaid expansion could lead, especially with a hostile federal administration, lead to direct funding for abortion. So the Supreme Court, our federal protections against taxpayers being forced to fund abortion are gone. Our state Supreme Court has said we cannot put language in our budget, where we always have, restricting and protecting taxpayers from being forced to fund abortion. That is gone. And we have potential imminent expansion of a program that could, under the wrong circumstances, be used to fund abortion. So the answer to the senator from the 11th, the senator from the 5th, many media outlets, I'm sure, have asked you this question. They certainly have me. What has changed? Those three things have changed. So things have changed. And then we have the issue of, well, if you put pro-life language, if you put language that protects Missouri taxpayers from being forced to fund abortion in the FRA bill, we will lose, it depends on the day, Senator, but anywhere from $700 million to $6 billion in federal money. Now, I think we've all had the experience in this body of filing bills where some department bureaucrat doesn't like our bill and they give us a ridiculous fiscal note.
Yes, I've had that happen to me on occasion.
Yeah, I've had it happen to me more than once. Sometimes bills get even killed in fiscal oversight on that basis. But anyway, so I think we've all had that experience, and I think that's exactly what's going on right here. Look, I believe our governor is pro-life, but I believe the so-called experts in the Department of Social Services are giving him bad advice. Maybe some hospital lobbyists are doing the same thing. But are you familiar with the cases coming out of Texas and out of Arkansas pertaining to Planned Parenthood funding?
I have not.
Yeah, so in Texas, this is Texas v. Kaufman, Fifth Circuit, of course, from 2020. And in Arkansas, it's Doe's v. Gillespie, the Eighth Circuit, 2017. And essentially, to simplify things, Texas and Arkansas both defunded Planned Parenthood. You know what happened to their Planned Parenthood funding? I'm sorry, their Medicaid funding?
It was kept fully intact, and the court agreed that they were constitutionally allowed to do that.
There you go.
And I'm not even familiar with the cases, but I know you wouldn't ask the question if that wasn't the answer.
You knew where I was leading you, right? Arkansas defunded Planned Parenthood hasn't lost a single penny of Medicaid dollars. I hope everyone's listening. Hope everyone's listening, including the second floor. So Arkansas didn't lose a single money of Medicaid dollars, and Texas has not won lost a single penny of Medicaid dollars. You know how those cases ended up in the Fifth Circuit and the Eighth Circuit, respectively?
Planned Parenthood initiated a lawsuit.
I'm sorry?
That's my guess. Planned Parenthood initiated a lawsuit.
Well, yeah, but yeah, Planned Parenthood initiated a lawsuit. It went, trial court, district court level, and up to the appellate court level. And guess who won those two lawsuits at the appellate court level?
State of Texas, the state of Arkansas.
You are right, Senator. The state of Texas and the state of Arkansas won those lawsuits. So not a single money of Medicaid money was lost by the state of Texas. Not a single penny of Medicaid money was lost by the state of Arkansas. So, if
and now, now remind me, the state of Arkansas sits in which federal circuit?
The Eighth Circuit.
And which federal circuit does Missouri sit in?
Let me think really hard. Maybe I should do a Google search. Eighth Circuit, Missouri.
So what you're saying is that we actually have existing federal precedent recently.
In our own circuit.
In our own circuit, where the lawsuit is likely to be filed, and the judges on the Eighth Circuit have already decided and passed upon this issue.
Yeah, and it was an en banc decision, so all the judges...
Oh, so all 13 of the judges on the Court of Appeals passed on the question.
Yeah, I don't know that it was a unanimous decision, but all, yeah, they all looked at the
question.
But
the majority of an en banc panel.
And the majority of that circuit decided in the favor of the state of Arkansas. So, Senator, I don't know what the problem is. Again, I'm not asking you to take a position here on the floor today, but what could be the problem? Because we passed this pro-life language to protect Missouri taxpayers from being forced to fund abortion or abortion affiliates or Planned Parenthood. We passed this in the budget repeatedly. In 2020, not only did we pass it and the great majority of Republicans voted for that budget, but all but two Democrats voted for that budget. And yet, here all of a sudden, and so in theory, we could have lost all these gazillions of dollars of Medicaid money back when we first passed that language, going back a number of years. So, but we haven't, and Texas hasn't, and Arkansas hasn't. So, I don't know. I think every Republican in this body ran as being pro-life. I mean, I know certainly the governor in his reelection printed up signs that said with his silhouette on them that said the most pro-life governor in Missouri history, and all of a sudden we are hesitating to pass legislation that will protect innocent human life, protect taxpayers from being forced to fund abortion. I don't see what the problem is here.
I mean, and as I understand it, your amendment that was offered to the FRA back in April when
yes.
we were in regular session,
yes.
That language is identical to the language that had previously appeared in the budget prior to the Missouri Supreme Court's case in 2020.
Yes, it is, and it addresses the specific sections cited by the Missouri Supreme Court. In fact, the Missouri Supreme Court went one step further. They not only struck down the language in the budget, but it went on to say, and I quote, again, this is Planned Parenthood versus Department of Social Services from last June, if the General Assembly wants to change the conditions that must be met to be an authorized provider of Missouri MoHealthNet services, it must do so by amending the statutes in which those conditions are found. And then they talk about appropriations and so on. So, until a proper amendment is acted, an appropriation bill can say how much money can be used and for what purposes, but sections 281531, 281526, 12 control who is eligible to receive those funds. In other words, they're saying you have to amend the statute if you want to defund Planned Parenthood. And so, why are we having this discussion about the FRA? Because the FRA opens up Chapter 208. The FRA is about Medicaid funding and Medicaid providers. There couldn't be a better vehicle for protecting Missouri taxpayers from being forced to fund abortion. I don't see what the problem is.
Well, Senator, I think that I assume that we will probably have this debate at great length tomorrow.
I'm sure we will.
That is the perfection day where amendments are offered on the floor, and
yes,
we get to have those types of policy discussions. And I imagine that, given the amount of debate that we've had during, I was actually talking to somebody about this the other day, I think we had a more lengthy debate on a bill filing yesterday than certainly any of the time that I've been in the Senate for the last three sessions. We've never had that much debate during the bill filing, because normally it's just the sponsor stands up, they say, I don't have an explanation, they sit down, they send the bills forward, the secretary reads them, and then we move on to the next
right
bill.
Order of business.
And we spent a good, two hours, probably?
Yeah, we spent quite a bit of time, you know? And when the senator from Andrew filed his three bills, I got up and asked him why three bills, and not really sure I fully understood, and I think the senator from Jefferson asked the senator from Franklin why three bills, and I'm not sure he really, you know, got to the. I didn't really hear anything that explained that. You know, I hope the idea of filing multiple bills isn't some sort of a trick. I could see a world. You know, as you know, you and I have experienced this too on a number of bills, especially judiciary and crime bills, where bills die in all sorts of stages of the process, don't they?
Yeah.
We could perfect a bill on this in this chamber, say a pro-life bill, and it could go to fiscal and die. It could come back to the floor and not be taken up by the sponsor. It could go to the House and not be referred to committee. It could die in House committee. It could die in House Rules Committee. It could be passed out of House Rules Committee and not taken up by the floor leader. It could go to the floor and be amended and come back to this body and then filibustered. And it could be TAFP'd and then vetoed by the governor. And if the governor has really been convinced by the Department of Social Service bureaucrats that it's going to cost our states $6 billion, I assume the governor would veto it. So what we need to do is to take up the FRA. It is an important bill. It is a must-pass bill. It is responsible for a large portion of Missouri Medicaid funding. And we need to add pro-life protective language to it and send it to the House, send it to the governor, and put that in law, just like Arkansas and Texas has, and just like we have in our budget the last several years. So, well, Senator, I appreciate it. Any final thoughts?
No, I think you covered it.
I think we pretty much covered what this session's all about. And, you know, I thank you for the inquiry, and I look forward to a lively debate tomorrow. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Resolutions. Senator from the 8th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire of the Senator from the 2nd?
Senator from the 2nd, you yield. He does. Proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Senator.
I just wanted to talk a little bit more about Texas and Arkansas, because I've done a little research on that, and I could be wrong, but it seems to me that you're right. The way you described it did happen that way.
Yeah.
But what Texas and Arkansas did was through regulatory rulings, not by statutory rulings. I could be corrected on this, but it seems to me that when that was done, that was when the group had video footage of them selling fetal parts. And that's when Governor Abbott, and I forget who was in Arkansas, they said they were out of compliance with Texas law. And so they defunded them by rule, not by statute.
Right.
And the courts ruled that they could do that because they have the ability to create the regulatory framework that these health agencies work under. And so what we're doing is completely different than that, because the CMS never weighed in on that. For one thing, it was something that I don't think they can, because it was through the regulatory environment that Texas did that. We're not trying to do that through regulation. We're trying to do it through statutory change. CMS will have the full ability to challenge any or all parts of our Medicaid funding. And so what you're saying is we're going to throw the dice and dare CMS to defund us, where many of us are not going to be willing to take that chance.
So, Senator, you're saying that the reason that Arkansas and Texas was able to defund Planned Parenthood and then win at the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals and the 5th Circuit Court of Appeals is that they did it by rule and not by statute.
They said Planned Parenthood is not abiding by the regulations of Texas and Arkansas.
So, Senator, where do rules come from?
The rules come from the bureaucracy of Texas and Arkansas.
They do.
And that's why I would like to see us do something along those same lines.
So where, from where do the bureaucracies derive their authority to make the rules?
From the legislature and the governor.
And the legislature specifically from statutes that the legislature enacts, right?
Well, actually, you know, a lot of the rules come up because we defer authority to the rulemaking agencies within a state. I mean, we don't bless every rule. In fact, that's what JCAR does. It can unbless a rule that the bureaucracy creates.
Yeah, well, yes, but ultimately, the rules derive their authority from the statutes enacted by the legislature.
Because broadly speaking, yes.
Yeah, even the existence of the departments themselves derives from the statutes from the legislature. So I guess what I fail to see in your analysis is why CMS or the federal court system would defer to a rule and not a statute, which comes from a much higher authority, if you will.
I don't know that CMS can get to that rule, is what I'm saying, is where statute, we come in the way you're proposing we come in, there is some question what CMS, what they can and cannot do. With this environment, the way they've done it in Texas, the courts ruled. I lost my train of thought, I'm sorry. But with the way the Texas, and the way I understand it, again, and I'm sure the senator from Platt, if he does some research, can straighten me out on this, but it just seems like they made a rule that never really threatened the funding from CMS. If the rule was thrown out, it would have thrown out. But the courts said that the legislature and the government of those states have the ability to make this regulatory environment, and the people that they're regulating have to abide by it. And so that's all I'm saying. I think the argument saying it's been done, we can do it, is just not true. I think there's a lot of uncertainty, the path you're proposing we take. That could put much of our funding for pregnant women and people in nursing homes, put some of those things at risk that I think some of us are going to have a hard time going along with.
Yeah, well, Senator, a statute is a law and a rule is a law. A rule is merely a law promulgated indirectly pursuant to authority granted in a statute. Either way, we're dealing with a state action. And courts have not been shy, federal or state, to intervene and strike down state actions, rules, or statutes.
I appreciate that. I just wanted the body to know there is a difference between what we're trying to do here or what you're proposing and what they did there.
There's no question that Texas and Arkansas did it differently. But I would think, if anything, something enacted by the legislature and signed by the governor of the state would carry greater weight, be meritorious of greater deference by the courts than a rule made by a bureaucrat.
It's certainly harder to get by, because if the rule is found to be not in compliance, it can be rejected. A statute cannot. And so that's why the whole funding scheme would be called into question. If the governor's administration, if the bureaucracy come up with a rule and CMS challenged it and it was set aside, it's just set aside. If we do a statute, it's much more sticky. It's much harder to unwind.
So, Senator, are our statutes severable?
Yes.
Yeah, they are. They're always severable. And, for a belt and suspenders approach, can we add a severability clause?
We can, but the severability is a court decision, not a CMS decision. And so I think your language will pass the courts, because they said we can do this, we just can't do it through the budget. So I think it'll be fine by the court's point of view, and then CMS rules, and then that is where severability is not part of the question. Unless if we specifically put that in there, which I would like to see, then I think it'd be a much easier pill to swallow.
Well, that's unusual, because really the basis on which Planned Parenthood challenged the Texas action and the Arkansas action was the Medicaid law, CMS law, if you will. So the court essentially decided that for the federal bureaucracy, decided that for CMS. The point is that Texas and Arkansas haven't lost a penny. Now, in terms of the unwinding, courts often pick and choose and strike down different provisions. So, for instance, the heartbeat bill, the House Bill 126 that we passed in 2019, it had about, I'd have to go back and count, but let's say it had about 8 provisions, 10 provisions. And just a few weeks ago, the federal court enjoined a handful of those provisions, the abortion bans, if you will, the trigger, the heartbeat, the dismemberment abortion, and the fetal pain provisions. It struck down those or enjoined them. In other words, stopped enforcement of those pending litigation. But the rest of the bill, for instance, the very important part where we enhanced the pregnancy care center tax credit and a number of the requirement that abortion clinics have medical malpractice insurance and so on, those parts of the law still went into effect. So if Planned Parenthood would sue the state of Missouri, which they're a pretty litigious bunch, so they probably would, they'd go to court saying this part of the of this FRA renewal bill, Senate Bill 1 or Senate Bill 3, that defunds us, that protects Missouri taxpayers from being forced to fund abortion or abortion affiliates, they would say that part of it's invalid. They'd have no basis to invalidate the rest of the FRA extension, none whatsoever.
I don't think the courts will. I think the courts will find this law, from what I've read, will be okay with it. They seem to be okay with it before. They just said it's in the wrong spot. My fear is CMS's ruling.
Did CMS do that to Texas or to Arkansas?
As far as I know, they never weighed in, because the courts ruled that it's by rule the states can set their regulatory climate. They have the ability to do that.
Yeah. But a rule is a law, a statute's a law. It's a distinction without a difference. There's no reason that the Eighth Circuit would decide any differently in the case of Planned Parenthood v. Missouri.
Well, what Texas did, they found a reason that Planned Parenthood was not in compliance. Everybody else that does that type of work, for the most part, are in compliance. That's how they could target Planned Parenthood through this rule. And I'm not concerned about the court ruling on your language. I'm concerned about it standing up and then CMS having a problem with it. And it may only be a 10% chance that CMS then threatens our funding, but I don't depend on Medicaid for my family. You probably don't for yours, but we have lots of families, lots of people that depend on that. And I just think it's a really big throw of the dice to say the courts will back down and we'll be fine. I just think that's a big step that I am really reluctant to take.
So, Senator, if you're right and CMS has standing to do what you're talking about, that would be a lawsuit too. Is there any reason to think that the Eighth Circuit would decide any differently in the lawsuit of Missouri v. CMS or CMS v. Missouri than they did, let's say, in the state of in the Arkansas or the Texas cases?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. We're making significant, huge decisions not knowing what's going to happen.
Well, Texas did the same, and Arkansas did the same. And so again, they just did it at the bureaucracy level rather than the legislative level. Well, let me ask you a different question. Will you be encouraging the Parson administration to issue an executive order canceling the Planned Parenthood contracts or barring Planned Parenthood from being a Medicaid provider, just like Texas and Arkansas did?
Absolutely. I'd love to see that done by
rule. Let's draft a letter, and we'll do that. We'll send that to the governor today. But in the meantime, I think we need to put this in our Medicaid law permanently in statute, just in case the next governor doesn't feel the same. But I'd like to see the governor issue that that letter. The problem is, as you said, a rule can be withdrawn any time, and I think, unfortunately, Senator or Governor Parson has taken some bad legal advice, and the social worker permanent bureaucrats at Department of Social Services, they apparently have given him the advice that you're jeopardizing CMS funding.
Let me just say also, by the way, Senator, I think we should quit questioning Governor Parson's pro-life bona fides. I think he is as pro-life as anybody in this body, and I've read people questioning that. That is outrageous, I think.
Well,
this purity test we keep having is just off the charts.
If we
keep subdividing, eventually we will lose it all.
Do you support defunding Planned Parenthood?
I do.
Okay. How should we go about it?
I think your language is fine. I think it should be something that if CMS rules against it, there ought to be a way to set it aside and deal with it in other ways.
Yeah.
It concerns me that we are going to put we are going to give the Biden administration, who is going to be, Trump administration is gone, the rules have changed dramatically. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Biden administration is not looking for a state to make examples of. And I just don't want Missouri to be that state. And yeah. So I would love to do what you're doing. I think the language is fine. I think that what you're trying to do is honorable. I just am leery of doing it the way we're trying to do it with your language.
So let's play that out. Play out how that would work. So the CMS, the Biden CMS, rules against Missouri declares us to be out of compliance. Would Missouri just stand by and just do nothing, or what would we do? You think?
I'm sure we go to court.
Yeah, we go to court.
But if we go to court,
Do we have a branch of government that does that here in Missouri?
Goes and to that decision, for it? Of course, yeah. We do. That decision is set aside, but eventually there'll come a day of reckoning. And if we have somebody in the Senate with your views. Getting something undone is much tougher than getting something
done. We don't have to undo it. It would get enjoined.
I'm not. That's something you feel strongly about, but we have no guarantee of that. We're going in uncharted areas.
So let's play that out. So, you know, again, CMS says you're out of compliance, Missouri. We're going to cut off all your money, which by the way, CMS has never done before. And, in fact, there's a 2019 case where the Department of Senior Services is charged by the federal government with overcharging, actually, in this women's health arena. And again, they assessed a penalty against Missouri that's still under appeal, but they didn't take all our money again. But so let's say the CMS says, we're going to do that. We're going to take all your money away. You're out of compliance. We go to court. The Attorney General, Eric Schmidt, John Sauer, they go to court, go to federal district court level. We win, we lose. It gets appealed to the where? Where does it get appealed to?
I guess you said the 8th earlier.
The 8th Circuit Court of Appeals, where Arkansas just won. And actually, if anything, the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals, with a couple more Trump appointees, is even more favorable than it was when Arkansas won in 2017.
I just don't have the confidence.
There's no other way it would play out. I mean, it would either play out as a lawsuit, Planned Parenthood versus Missouri, or it would be a CMS versus State of Missouri lawsuit. And again, either way, there is legal precedent that we could do it.
And conservatives are never disappointed by court decisions. They always do exactly as we saw last week or the week before with Obamacare in Washington. Conservative courts never rule in ways that we had not anticipated. I'm not going to put my faith in a court decision by the 8th Circuit, which you seem to have unlimited faith in, and doing something that's not going to impair the state.
Senator, if the 8th Circuit decides against us, they will enjoin my pro-life language, and we will be back in compliance, and we won't lose a single penny, just like Texas and Arkansas didn't lose a single penny.
Senator, I just don't agree with you. The people I've talked to, I'm sure we'll have further discussions. Maybe people come to my office now and tell me where I'm wrong. But I just think that's an awfully big bet we're taking with other people's lives.
Let me ask you a different question. Senator, have you ever had a bill that you were disappointed with the fiscal note?
Yeah.
Yeah, where a department made a comment that your bill would cost way more than you believed it did? That's what we got going on right here.
Potentially, but the numbers we're talking about with Medicaid are big. They are lots
of
money.
Well, you know the heartbeat bill? The first fiscal note in the House, House Bill 126 said, the fiscal note was if we passed the heartbeat bill, we would lose $6 billion. Same thing we got going on here.
I don't remember that.
You basically just had a department that didn't like the legislation, and they wanted to deep six it by giving an outrageous, ridiculous, and legally indefensible fiscal note. So through the process, that fiscal note got reviewed. But that very same department, the Department of Social Services, is trying to deep six my attempt to protect Missouri taxpayers from being forced to fund abortion or abortion facilities.
I think we'll just have a difference of opinion on this.
I think we will.
It does. I just want the body to think this through because
so Senator, I would suggest if so, when my amendment gets to the floor, if you feel this way, I mean, feel free to vote no, and I'll vote yes, and we'll see what the will of the body is.
We'll work on it when we get there.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President.
The order of business is concurrent resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of second reading of Senate bills.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be second reading of Senate bills. Senator from Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 1.
Senate Bill 1, an act relating to health care.
Appropriation. Senate Bill 2.
Senate Bill 2, an act relating to family planning services.
Appropriation. Senate Bill 3.
Senate Bill 3, an act relating to reimbursement allowance taxes.
Appropriation. Senate Bill 4.
Senate Bill 4, an act relating to health care.
Appropriation. Senate Bill 5.
Senate Bill 5, an act relating to public school curriculum and instruction.
Rules, joint rules, resolutions, and edits.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the order of business is announcements. Announcements. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business come before the body. I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m. this day.